Today on Real Radio.
The greatest way to exhibit the holiness of God is to love one another, is to love someone else. You want to talk about holiness? I really don't respect much about what you're talking about. Are you anti-holiness? No, exact opposite. But if you're really holy, you're going to love one another.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Have you ever heard the term God is love? Sort of a declaration, if you will. I'm sure you have. But do you know where to find that in Scripture? Do you know what the author meant by it? Is it often misunderstood or taken out of context? Well, of course, John is the one who in his gospel referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It seems John the apostle had, well, let's say particular insight into not just love per se, but divine love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4. It's called Loving Like God.
When somebody, you know, we're praying for the salvation of someone at work. Lord, show them that you love them. Lord, save their soul. Use me, God, if you would, to reach them for the gospel. And you're praying and the boss comes in and they pass up you and they give them the raise. God, how could you do this? He's only answering the prayer to bless. If you really love them, you would have said, "No, I just got the raise, but I'm going to give you my raise, you know." I mean, you're just trying to reach them. You go the extra mile to bless. The love of God. It's not selfish. It's beautiful. Another thing we see here in verse 8 is that the lack of love reveals that one doesn't know God. If you are lacking, if you do not possess God's love, it's proof positive that you don't know God. He who does not love does not know God. The word literally has not experienced God in their lives. For or because God is love. Wow, what a simple thing. Because God is love, those who love with God's love know God. Because God is love, those who do not love with God's love, they don't know God. That's exactly why Jesus, in Matthew 7:21, will say in the last days, many will come to me and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons and did do many miracles and didn't we do all this stuff in your name?" And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me into hell. I never knew you." He wouldn't even know who they were. Didn't we travel the globe and cast out demons and do all kinds of stuff in your name? And he says, "I don't even know who you are." The only way that can happen is if they do not know the love of God. And that's serious, isn't it? You can hear a pin drop in here right now. That's because it's serious stuff. Ask yourself, do I exhibit the love of God? Or is it a self-centered love? Do I give because I'll get? That's the love of the world. I'll do this if you do this back. The love of the world. Not the love of God. It's been well said that love does not define God, but God defines love. And that's true. God is spirit, John 4:24 tells us. God is light, 1 John 1:5 tells us. And here, God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, probably the most famous verse of the Bible outside of Psalm 23. 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love, or Jesus, suffers long and is kind. Love, or Jesus, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, listen, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Man, I tell you, just if we were to look at verses 7 and 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, my goodness, if we treated each other like this, bears all things, puts up with. Now, get used to it. If you're a Christian, God is going to send people into your life, and they're going to be Christians that drive you crazy. God has sent them. They're divine appointments to you. Oh, here he comes. Oh, he drives me crazy. That's God's divine appointment. God has engineered that person to be a total, you know, irritant to you, so that you would depend upon the love of God. Oh, brother, that really upsets me. Why is that? Hey, God has put that person in your life to upset you, so that you won't be upset anymore, that you'll say, Lord, give me the love for this guy before I kill him, you know. Lord, help me. You know, some people, Lord, I just don't love Johnny as I ought. And the Lord says, man, the truth is you can't stand Johnny. You need to pray and ask me to put my love in your heart for Johnny. And that's the truth, you know. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, it says, as much as it is possible, live peaceable with all men. Why did Paul say that? Because it's not always possible to live at peace with all men. So we need the love of God, or else we're going to be a carnal, backbiting, bitter, grumbling church. And people who grumble, complain, and backbite don't know anything about the love of God. The Lord won't let them continue on or stay like that. He won't do it. The Holy Spirit will not live in a house like that. And when he lives in a house, he takes control of the house. So real and tangible is the divine love, I believe, that should be exhibited in a church, that it's clearly seen in the lives of those who possess it. I really believe that. And those who have been born of God, I think it's simple. I think as you look in Galatians chapter 5 to the fruit of the Spirit of God in the person's life, I don't think you have to worry about some long list of fruit, because I believe, as it is in the Greek, the word is singular. It's not fruits. These are not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and long goes the list. It is the fruit, singular, and the first is love. From love, everything else flows out. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah, of course you'll have peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control, because you have the love of God. Verse 9. This is what God did. This is what God does. And that is Christian fellowship. God does Christian fellowship. It says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. First thing, verse 9, Jesus came to show us real fellowship. In this the love of God was manifest toward us. How was God's love shown? Jesus. You want to see what God is like? Look to Jesus. What is the love? By the way, the word in the Greek is very cool here. When it says, in this, the love of God, it's the definite article. In this, the love of the God, which in Bible study is the Father. This is the love of the Father. The Father's love is like this. He sent, he manifested his Son to us because he loves us. The word manifest, great word. It means to render, to come out into the open, to make visible, to take that which was hidden and to unveil it. The Father, because he loves us, unveiled Jesus. Get a load of this. There's no greater gift. There's no more wonderful expression. There's no package that God could have sent into the world to show how much he loved except Jesus. Nothing else. No one else. Jesus is the one. He has manifested Christ to us. In 1 John 3:5, the Bible says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. I love that. If God loves us so much that he sends Jesus and reveals himself to us, and that Jesus' mission for coming was not only to reveal the Father to us, but to take away our sins, that ought to remove any doubt or fear that you have in your heart about God loving you or not. God wants to take away your sin and reveal Jesus to you. What kind of a deal is that? You'll find nothing better. It's the greatest. It's the most awesome, cosmic, universal gift that the world could ever experience. That God loves us, that he would reveal his son to us, and not only that, but by revealing his son to us, he would take away our sins. All in one person. 1 Timothy 3:16. I love this verse. 1 Timothy 3:16, you've heard it many times here. It says, without debate or without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was manifested in the flesh. By the way, it is very clear. It is God has revealed himself, speaking about the deity of Jesus. He was God in human flesh. Number two, justified in the Spirit. Number three, seen by angels. Number four, preached among the Gentiles. Number five, believed on in the world. And number six, received up or back up into glory from where he came. Awesome. Verse 9 tells us that Jesus was the only unique revelation of God. There's no other, by the way. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. This is true, because true love, the love of God, cannot sit idle. It has to perform. God's love does. This is what God does. God loves so much that he doesn't sit. God loves so much that he does. And what did he do? He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. The word begotten is monogenes. Listen to the definition of this word in the original language. It means the absolute unique. It means there's no other. The only one of a kind, having a once and only status, something that is, and there shall never be anything like it again, either a thing or a person. And that truth is so revealed in Jesus, because it was Jesus who reached down and touched us out of heaven by coming. In Luke 4:18, when Jesus stood there in that synagogue, and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. The Father sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why God sent Jesus, his only unique Son. He's the only one that could have saved us. He's the only one that qualified. Not us, not a committee, not a slew of saviors, not some kind of a pantheistic conglomeration of all religions, and maybe I'll sample a little bit of both. It's Jesus and Jesus only. In 1 John 3:16, by the way, you know, this is kind of neat. You might want to pay attention. This is fun. John 3:16, you know, right? Listen to this. John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16, they're the same. Isn't that kind of neat? You say, well, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. That's true, but these are two books of John's. Listen how he thinks. John 3:16, I'll read it to you. For God so loved the world. That's even rotten, stinking sinners like us who have come to Jesus, and rotten, stinking sinners who will never come to Jesus. The word here is all-encompassing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Listen to 1 John 3:16 communicate exactly the same truth. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See the connection? It's powerful. Verse 9, we see here that Jesus is the only source for real living. It says in verse 9 here at the latter end that we might live through him. There's no life outside of him. The purpose and the means for Jesus' coming was that we might have life. Listen, Jesus' death was not an accident. Jesus' death was an appointment that God established. I'll give you three quick verses and off we go. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that it was an appointment, not an accident. 2 Corinthians 5:15. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 10 tells us that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we live or die, we should live together with him. That's an appointment. Galatians 2:20 is an appointment. I have been crucified with Christ. Yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's awesome. And then our third and final point tonight, verses 10 through 11, is regarding the death of Christ. The death of Christ. And this is love, he says. Not that we loved God. We can't even claim that. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In verse 10, when he says, and this is love, not that we loved God. It's for us the understanding that the believer's redemption is initiated by God. You might say, I found Jesus today. When in reality, in that moment, the Lord opened your eyes to his truth. Yes, it's true that you may have been getting sin sick or whatever the case might be, but there was a work going on by the Spirit of God to lead you to Christ. It was the Lord all the way, leading and guiding and whispering and wooing you to come to the Lord. The believer's redemption is initiated by God. We sing that song, you know, he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. Oh, that is so true. It's so true. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were rebels. We were rebels, really shaking our fist at God, though we may not even confess that we knew him or believed that he existed. Before we came to Jesus, we were rebels. The Bible says there in Ephesians 2 that we were the sons of disobedience. That's a hard pill to swallow if you're still hanging on to some self-righteousness. When the Bible says that we were sons of disobedience, all of us, we don't like to hear that. Now, I can see myself as a son of disobedience. Can you imagine some sweet little lady? The Bible says that she too is a child, a son of disobedience, that we all are sons of disobedience until we come to Jesus. See, it's not what we are in our gender, and it's not what we look like on the outside. It's our nature. Our nature wants to sin against God. It's strange, but it's the fallen nature. Also, God's love for the believer is an all-forgiving love. Look at verse 10. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation here is an awesome word. In the Greek, it means one who takes the place of, the atoning victim, one that was sacrificed for another. Listen, interestingly enough, in the Old Testament application, it means this. Are you ready? The lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the propitiation. It's the lid to the Ark of the Covenant. You say, what? Yeah, it is. You know, the Ark of the Covenant is really just the box without the lid. That's the Ark. Did you know that? The lid that comes on top of it, that's called the mercy seat. That's the place of propitiation. That's where the angels, by the way, had to bow down. You know the images that are engraven, the angels that are on top? They have to be looking down. They can't be looking up. Because God's presence dwells above the sacrifice. If the sacrifice is innocent and pure, God's presence dwells above the sacrifice. Angels can't even look into the presence of the Lord. They veil their faces. And in the Ark of the Covenant, that lid that sits on top of the mercy seat, the angels are looking down. And when the angels look down, remember, it's brilliant gold. When they look down, what are they kneeling in? On the Day of Atonement, they're kneeling in blood. When those angels are looking down, have you ever seen red or blood with gold? I mean, you got to admit, it is spectacular. Here's this gold mercy seat, the propitiation, the seat of mercy. God is dwelling above it. And poured over the top of that mercy seat is the sacrificial lamb dedicated to God, the blood of that lamb. The propitiation, the victim for our sin, for our soul's redemption. God sent his Son. My friends, this is so simple and yet so profound that it speaks about our salvation being complete in the blood of Christ. Complete. Enjoy it, will you? As it was in the days of old where the priest and the sons of the priest would have their right thumb, their right index finger, their right ear and their ear lobe, and their right big toe dipped in the blood of the sacrifice. Did you know that? That priest would be standing there and he'd have blood on his fingers, he'd have blood on his earlobe, and he'd have blood on his right toe, signifying that his life was completely dedicated to the blood of God. And in that, he was a representative of the work of God. And the Bible tells us, Peter tells us, that we're all God's priests in this world. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to be exercising if we're the priest? What's my mission? What's my duty? I don't know. What kind of protocol do I have to be schooled in? One, love one another. Jesus says, even as I have taught you to love one another. And then finally, we're done. It says, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'll end with this. You look at verse 11, and to me, it flies in the face of self-righteousness. And there's a lot of people running around today, and I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but there's these, and they come from time to time throughout church history, there's these holiness groups. We're a very small group of people. We really got an inside route on understanding the Bible. By the way, usually this happens with young people. They get a little study going, and they get kind of puffed up about it, and they see themselves as somehow exclusive. We're the ones that are really, you know, the rest of the guys, yeah, they're saved, yet so by fire. But us, oh man, there's going to be an abundant entrance made for us when we enter the kingdom. And they get into this little thing, and you know, we pray more than everybody, we evangelize more than everybody, we whatever. They call them holiness groups. And when I look at verse 11, I think the greatest, and I don't think this is a stretch by no means, the greatest way to exhibit the holiness of God is to love one another, is to love someone else. You want to talk about holiness? I really don't respect much about what you're talking about. Are you anti-holiness? No, exact opposite. But if you're really holy, you're going to love one another. So don't talk to me about your books on fasting and your books on self-denial. I don't care. I could care less how long you pray. It does not impress me. What impresses me is the love that flows out of someone's life. And so, we end with what we should state as the beginning. Let us love one another. Let's just do it. I know you're doing it. Let's just do it more.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle writes about, well, you might call it love from above. Loving like God is the title of this presentation. Loving like God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by the apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's series called Living in the Days of Deception. And you know what? We get a lot of requests still coming in for folks who'd like to get their hands on that series. So we're going to keep it available for you. Our offer? We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We really want to get this into your hands, so whatever you can send, we will send you the entire series on one MP3 CD, Living in the Days of Deception. Call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or call us. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name. Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series on MP3 CD. You're going to like it. Also, a reminder to join us tonight on his channel for our Wednesday night study. It airs live on hischannel.com. And of course, all of our links and contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.